I want to share with you how the Bible can be used in making decisions of our life. Life is filled with decisions. And we want to use the Bible as a background in making our major decisions and our small decisions. Perhaps one of the greatest decisions that we'll ever make is a decision to accept Christ as our Savior. John 1:12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." In all probability, all the people in this room have made that commitment. You've made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart. If you haven't, be sure you contact your study group leader or your small group leader or workshop and talk about it with someone to commit your life to Jesus Christ. Because we need to make that decision. Maybe you were born in a church where they baptized babies. And so you were baptized, but you haven't made the decision yourself. Let me encourage you to make that decision, because that's a very important decision. And we need to encourage other people to make that decision. You know, when we make that decision, we use the expression saved. You know, I was saved. I was saved at the age of 20. Well, the word saved denotes that I was lost one time. And I was. You know, Romans teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isaiah 53:6. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Sheep are funny creatures. Adam and I lived in New Zealand for a number of years, and they raised a lot of sheep in New Zealand. And sheep just wander off, and they can't find their way back home. Shepherd has to go looking for them, or have to have a trained dog to find the sheep. Sometimes he's caught in the bush and in the brush and has to be released. Pets, for instance, can find their way home. We had a little Brittany Spaniel when we lived in Northern California. Beautiful little dog, and one day she got out. And we looked all over the neighborhood. We knocked on doors and annoyed a lot of folks for several hours looking for our dog. And couldn't find her. So we went home brokenhearted. About 3 days later, we were having dinner up on the patio. We lived up on a hill. There's about 3 sets of steps to get up there. And while we were having lunch, here come Robin, our little dog, dirty and filthy and tired and haggard, and making her way up the steps, you know. And we were so thrilled to have our little dog. She found her way home. And we said, "Robin," her name was Robin, "Robin, where in the world have you been?" And of course, she didn't say a thing. So we never even scolded her. We just took her and put her in the basement and fed her and put her to bed. We even waited till the next day before we gave her a bath, you see. But she found her way home. I used to go hunting when I was a kid in Alabama, coon hunting and possum hunting. And occasionally we'd get off way in the swamp and we'd have 2 or 3 dogs, and we'd be ready to go home, and we couldn't find one. We'd call and call and call. The dog wouldn't come. So Dad said, "Well, let's go home." So we went home, and the next morning, sure enough, there the old dog would be. See, the old dog evidently found our trail and found our way home. But a sheep can't do that. You have to go after sheep. You have to find sheep. So it is with people. People have to be found. You have to go after them. You have to look for them, because they're lost. And you know, when people get lost, they go round in circles. They can't find their way out. See? They have to be found by some outside source. And that's what God wants us to do with people, and then wants us to do for ourselves, to make that basic commitment. After that commitment, there's another decision that needs to be made. That's the decision to grow. Peter teaches us, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A little baby needs to grow. Animals need to grow. Did you know when a little baby is born, there's some special formula in the mother's milk for that little baby? You see, a little baby can't just drink ordinary milk because it has special feeding. Actually, when a little calf is born, you cattlemen know that, dairy farmers as well, that for the first 5-6 days, you can't use the milk that comes from a fresh cow. This kind of a creamy, thick substance called colostrum is just made perfectly for baby calves. And if they have access to that, they grow off healthy. Now, of course, the doctors and chemists now have made some imitation mother's milk that they can get them on the bottle pretty quick. But mother's milk is built for that. A little baby needs special attention. And baby Christians need special attention. When I was converted, I was told to go to church. So I went to church. And I sat in church. And there's people around me had been saved for 40 years. And so the pastor got up and he'd been studying all week for a sermon, gave a tremendous sermon. I don't know who it was for, because I needed something different than that 40-year-old saint. Or been a saint for 40 years. You see, all new Christians need to grow, and they need special help. Josh used to call the word follow up. And so we made make that decision. And we need to make the decision to help other people grow. Occasionally you find a person that's been a Christian for a long time, but they haven't grown. Hebrews alludes to this in Hebrews 5:13. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. Because strong meat belongs to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Picked up a new fellow last week, Charles. He wasn't able to come to this particular conference. He'd been a Christian for quite a while, but he hadn't grown. And he came and I met him, and he said, John, I want to grow. I want some help. So I took Charles, we had lunch together, and after lunch, I took the little beginning with Christ, and I said, look, Charles, read this to me. He's a salesman and he had a little time. And so he read that to me. And we talked about that beginning with Christ. Then we took 1 John 5:11-12 and we memorized that verse. And I got him started. He was really thrilled to get started. I said, now Charles, we'll go through the beginning with Christ. Then we'll go to another little packet called Going On with Christ. And then he said, I'll get you a copy of the topical memory course, and we'll go to town. So I'll meet him again next week. Now then, he had made the decision to accept Christ some time ago, but he had never made the decision to grow in Christ. And that's a commitment that needs to be made. And we grow in Christ by the use of the Word. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that trust in Him. And we grow in Christ as we need to put away sin. You know, we have a little verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And from the first few days that a person accepts Christ until they pass out and go to be with Jesus, we hope in their older age, there's temptation. There's temptation. Maybe your temptation comes like mine. Maybe it's in the darkest of night. Maybe you wake up about 2 o'clock in the morning. You can't go back to sleep. And you realize you've been worrying about what you did yesterday and what you said. You said it wrong, and you should have known better, and you start condemning yourself, and you can't go back to sleep. And you realize, Lord, this is the devil. This is the devil keeping me awake. This is the devil trying to rob my victory. This is the devil. Lord, help me. Lord, I confess my sins. I confess my sins to you. Lord, if I did it wrong, I'll sure try to do it better next time, and I'll try to learn from this lesson. Maybe you fight that kind of battle. Because that's the kind of battle I fought last night. I fought the battle last night as strong as I did when I was first saved. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. He says, I'll help you. I'll give you strength. After we make that decision to grow in Christ, we need to make a commitment to walk in Christ. Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. 1 John 2:6, he that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. You walk in Christ, and you put away sin. Talking to a person not long ago, and a person had died, and question come up with, were they a Christian? Well, someone said, well, at least they made a commitment. But, you know, after that commitment, it wasn't followed through. You know, because the person was living a disobedient life. You know, 1 John 2:4 says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. How you like that? That's King James. You see? If you say you're walking with Christ and don't follow through, John says you're a liar. 1 Peter 2:19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So when you make a commitment to Christ, you should depart from iniquity. Someone the other day said, well, you know, John, wine drinking isn't too bad. You know, Jesus drank wine. The old boy called me from St. Louis. I said, yeah, I know he did, but he quit. He says, I won't touch it again until I drink it anew in my Father's house. I'll never touch it again. Jesus said that. See, he quit. That's Mr. Bush. He says, do you drink? He said, no, President Bush. He said, do you have a beer with the boys? He says, no. He said, do you have wine at weddings? He says, no. He says, what about your church communion? You take wine at your church communion? He says, my church don't serve wine. They couldn't understand. He didn't drink, you see. He didn't drink. I remember my last beer. It was about the time my mother died. I'm not going to say that beer is going to send you to hell. I'm just saying that wine is a mocker strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. We're told that 50% of all marriages end in divorce, in and out of the church. What caused them to end in divorce? Sin. Sin. You know, Proverbs 6:27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So is it goes to his neighbor's wife. So is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever touches her shall not be innocent. How does adultery come about? First, by handling and being friendly. Fellas, I made it a point years ago that I don't hug but one woman, and that's my wife. You say, what about John at church sometimes? One of the dear old saints come up and hug you? Well, that's her privilege if she wants to. But if you notice, I don't hug her back. And I keep my hands like this. See, I keep my hands kind of like this. You know, kind of lean over, act like I'm older than I am, you see. See? Why? There's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. See, old men are tempted. Young men are tempted. Scripture says, flee also youthful lust. It's youthful lust, but it's not relegated just to youth. It can be relegated to middle-aged fellows as well as to young fellows. You see, temptation. Fellows, you make a commitment. You decide, I will or I will not. My father wasn't a Christian until I was. He wasn't a practicing Christian. My dad, but he's a dear guy, and he taught me so much. I learned a lot from Dad. Dad believed that you should do what you say and say what you mean and mean what you say. Fella was working together, and this young man said, you know, Mr. Crawford, I'd like to do so and so and so. He said, why don't you do it? Well, so and so and so. And Dad says, you know, I don't believe you really want to. He said, yes, I do, Mr. Crawford. You know, Dad says, you know, I think you're lying. See, my dad was a fellow that started smoking when he was 10 years old. When he was 60 years old, he was sitting on the back steps. And he was smoking. He looked at his hands and his cigarette. He says, you know, this is a filthy habit. I think I'll quit. He flipped the cigarette. Never picked up another one for the next 37 years. He said, son, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But don't say. The other day on television, I saw a fellow politician says, I believe that a woman should have a choice over her body. He's the biggest liar in this country. He don't believe that at all. If she gets drunk, he'll lock her up himself. If she takes drugs, he'll lock her up. He don't believe she has power over her body. What he was saying was, I believe it. If she wants to kill her little baby, let her kill her little baby. See, we have to say yes to yes and no, no. You know, the scripture says, woe unto him that is called good evil and good and evil good. They put light for darkness and darkness for light. The folk bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Isaiah 5:20-21. We have to make a commitment to do what we say and mean what we say and carry through. To keep our word. Society has changed. Back in the old days, my great-grandfather, Dad's grandpa, he fought in the Civil War. He was on the Confederate side. And he was captured at Vicksburg and became a prisoner of war. And the Union officers took those young men and said, if you men will sign this document that you will not take up arms, we'll release you and send you home. And so Grandpa signed the document that he would not take up arms. And they gave him $2 and his rifle and a few rounds of ammunition and released him. And he walked home 403 miles. I don't think you could do that now. I don't think you could take an enemy soldier. I don't think he'd keep his word. Because in those days, these men, these Union officers knew that if these men said they would not take up arms, then they would not take up arms. He might die, but he wouldn't go against his word. But we've got a different society now. But we still have people that are sinners like you and me, and we can be the same kind of people that Grandpa was. We can keep our word, and we can live a clean life. You know, Job says, let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. I may be talking to some fellas that are hooked on porn. You know, you can break that habit. You really can. Jesus Christ can break that habit if you make a commitment, get some help, and turn it over to Him. I may be talking to some fellas that are deep in debt. And you wish with all your heart, oh, John, I wish I could get out of debt. I make good money, but at the end of the month, there's too little money. Did you know you can learn to live on what you make? I know you can do it, because I've done it. I've done it a long time. I never have drawn a whole lot of salary. And for years, I haven't hardly drew any at all. See? But you can learn to live on what you make. But you must make a commitment. It's right down here. Your heart is down here. Some people say it's up here, but it's down here. You see? It's in your gut. If you want to do it, you can do it. Because God Almighty can help you. You see, Jesus Christ lives in you. Romans 5:10, Scripture says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we're in the process of being saved by His life. We're being saved by His life. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. So I have the power of Jesus Christ in me. And Jesus Christ is not going to get friendly with some young chick that's not His. It's okay to get friendly with a chick as long as you're married to her, but not otherwise. And you'll stay out of trouble. You can make a commitment. I'll never, by God's grace, get a woman pregnant that I'm not married to. You can make that commitment. And you can keep that commitment. Now, you may have to get you a good pair of track shoes, because you may have to run sometimes. You may have to dig out in certain situations. But you can do it. You can live a victorious life. But it's a commitment. You know, there's other decisions that we need to make. And we need to bring the Bible into all of our decisions. Maybe it's buying a house. Nowadays, it looks like a lot of people losing their houses. Look like they're in the millions. And people being foreclosed and some with bankruptcy. How do you go about buying a house and be sure that you don't lose it? Well, you have to go by the rules. There's an interesting little verse in 24:27 in Proverbs. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterward build thine house. Probably that verse was given in the days in which you took your axe and saw and went out into the woods and cut your logs and got them all ready and measured them all up and got them to fit the house. And then you got your neighbors or some friends and you had a house raising. But we don't do that now. We different method of building a house. But the principles are still true. Prepare thy work without. Get your down payment ready. You may have to rent. You may have to rent a small house, young people, and for a long time. Do you save up enough money for a down payment? There's rules to go by. You have, say, 20%, 25%. Then you have a loan. And your loan payment should be a certain percentage of your wages. Don't make it over 25, but maybe 20. I suggest around 10 or 15, you see. And if you have a vocation, if you're employable, you follow these rules, you won't lose your house. You won't lose your house. But if you buy a house with no down payment, and then one case, a fellow bought a house with a down payment, and for the first 6 months it was 6%, then it started raising, and when I saw the situation, it was 14%. See, the world says, if you don't have much money, I'm going to penalize you. If you can't pay much, then I'm going to charge you more. But if you're rich and can really pay, then I won't charge you but a little. If you don't have a proper down payment, you pay a penalty until you get up to a certain point. You know all this. You know all these rules. See, the world is against you. So you have to learn to make a decision to go by the rules. Some of you fellows may be praying about getting married. Well, how you go about getting married? Well, there's verses on that, of course. Scripture says it's not good for man to be alone. And Scripture says, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Scripture says, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. But you don't necessarily go wife hunting. You prepare yourself first. And then you get advice from elders. You get advice from people that you trust. And you can make that decision. And you won't have to go through divorce. My story. I was 34 years old. And I started praying fervently about a wife. And I was working at headquarters with the Navigators. And there was a lot of girls around, maybe 30, 35. You know? But the Lord didn't lay any of them on my heart. And in those days, the unwritten law was, if you got interested in a girl, well, you talked to one of the elders. And I worked directly with Doss, so one of the girls was kind of cute and friendly, and so I asked Doss, should I get to know her better? And he said, no. And he said, John, it never would work. And he said, by the way, if you're interested, you're number 4 in line. No. Then there's another girl I thought would fit the bill, and well, I was trying to make up my mind where she married somebody else. And I was praying over John 12:24, except the corn of wheat fall in the ground and died, abideth alone. But if it dieth, bringeth forth much fruit. Now that verse is not talking about marriage. That verse is talking about raising wheat, you see. But I made an application, see. So I said, Lord, what is it that I haven't died to in regard to getting married? And he didn't lay anything on my heart. So I kept praying and reading and got down to 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. And the Lord laid on my heart, John, I'm going to honor you. Because you have died to your desires, and I'm going to give you mine. and it's going to be Helen. And I never dated Helen. I knew her. I thought she was a real nice lady, but I never dated her. And I said, well, Lord, how do I know that I love her? He said, I'll take care of that. You see, I didn't fall in love. See, you fall into ditches and you fall off of this big deal, you see. But you don't fall in love. You do love. See, 1 Samuel 2:3, talk no more exceeding proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. You do love. John 14:21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. What? What? He that has and keeps loves. He that has and keeps loves. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will reveal myself or manifest myself to him. I show my love to God by what I do, not by what I say. Oh, Lord, I love you. Oh, God. He said, be quiet, John. You're going to fall off the bench there. He says, get with it, John. Get with it, boy. Get your life squared away. Get into the Word. Walk circumspectly. Not as wise, but as fools. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. There may be other decisions that you need to make. And you may say, well, poor John, there's so... I know so little of the Bible, and there's so many decisions. Even with a concordance, John, I want to show you. I want to show you how I do it, and how I've been doing it for a number of years. I want to ask my buddy Mike to come up here with me, and I'm going to show you how I get together with a guy in the Word, and you call this fellowshipping. In the Word, see what we're going to do. This is not it. This is it. And by the way, Mike, let me sit on that side. You're okay. Have a seat. Can the guys see you? Mike and I got together for a number of years, 20 years ago. See, it takes me full 5 years to disciple a man. So he's a reproducer. It always has, you know. With Mike, of course, I've been working 20 years, but he's some...
slow learner.
But he's coming. And... we get together at McDonald's or what have you, and for breakfast or for lunch, and we check verses. And so I'll let Mike check my verses here. Those are Proverbs.
Yes.
Proverbs 16:2. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth his spirits. Proverbs 16:3. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. By the way, I used that one last night, Mike. I used that one about 2 weeks ago. About 2 weeks ago, I was awake at night. I couldn't sleep. I was worried about a decision that I needed to make out yonder somewhere. And I just couldn't sleep. And I decided I'd review some scripture. So I started reviewing scripture. And when I got to that verse, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And so I committed to the Lord, and I went to sleep. Next morning, my devotions were in the guy that had the fleece.
Gideon.
Gideon. Gideon. And, you know, Gideon had these 32,000, and God said, send them home and so on. And he took the 300. And the Lord laid on Gideon's heart, he said, I'll do it. Don't you worry about it. You just be available and I'll do it. And so God gave me that for confidence. So I got this answer as I was in the Word. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he'll make even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 17:9. He that coveteth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. 17:22. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Isn't that great?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. You ever run into a time when you feel like your bones are breaking?
Yes.
Yeah. Proverbs 18:13. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame unto him. Now, I have made that mistake over and over. You know, I've had the attitude, I know the answer, son. What's your question? You know.
John, I use that verse in regard to junk mail. I always open it to see what it is before
yeah.
I throw it away.
Yeah. Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of man can sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Proverbs 18:15. The intelligent man is always open to new ideas. In fact, he looks for them. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord.
You know, John, the amazing thing about that verse is it doesn't say, whoso findeth a good wife.
Yeah.
It just says, whoso findeth a wife.
Isn't that interesting?
That is.
Yeah. Well, you know, good people are made. They really are. And I think that as my wife and I have grown together. And when we started off earlier, of course we were I was 35, she was 25, so we were mature. And we made an agreement to talk over everything. See? Talk over everything. And we talked over how many children we were going to have and so on. And all such as that. And it's worked. By the way, she's praying for us right now. I called her just a while ago, and she's been praying this morning, praying for the workshops and so on. And I told her that Drew was going to sing for us, and she was so glad, you know. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Peter was quoting that verse to me the other day, and his translation says, a friend nearby is better than a brother far away. Yeah. Proverbs 19:14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there is hope. Let not thy soul spare for his crying.
That can be a tough one, John.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you have to get it. We have seminars on how to raise kids and so on. You have to get it in a certain stage,
right.
When there's hope.
Right.
When there's hope. Chasing us on while there's hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. I don't know if my mother knew that verse or not, but she sure believed it. Yeah.
Your mother was the one that was the influence that brought you to Christ. Right?
That's right. Dad was away working, and you know, Mom was raising the kids. And so she had hope. Yeah. Proverbs 19:22. A poor man is better than a liar. You know, there's more to that verse, but I like that because in case a person's tempted to shade on his expense accounts or anything, see, for money in his pocket, a poor man is better than a liar. Isn't that fantastic?
So I bet the IRS really likes that verse, don't they?
Who do?
The IRS.
Oh, brother. yes, and yeah. 20 verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Proverb 20 verse 4. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore should he beg and harvest and have nothing. That verse, you know, we're not farmers much anymore. And besides, if you're out plowing, you're in your tractor, you turn the heater on now, you
see.
Right. Yeah. But the application is true. If you don't prepare yourself when you're young, you're going to pay for it when you get older. Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, as the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Now this has given me comfort regardless of who's elected.
Right.
I can pray for the king or the queen. And and ask God to change their heart for the good of the country.
Right.
Proverbs 21:5. Steady plotting brings prosperity. Hasty speculation brings poverty. 21:5 in the King James. The spirit of a man, steady plotting. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteous, but he that is hasty only to want. Proverbs 22:1. A good name is better to be chosen than great riches and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Proverbs 22:3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Proverbs 22:7. The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is slave or servant to the lender. Proverbs 22:28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, that's a tremendous verse. Have we talked about that?
No, I don't think so.
Well, when a civil engineer goes out and lays out the land and plots or farms or lots, he's licensed. And with his transit, he lays it all out and gets his siding from position on the earth. He puts a stake and he puts his little tag on there. In Oklahoma, it's a felony if you move that stake. Because, see, if you move that stake, that's stealing land, you know. And he said, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Now, that's a literal meaning, but the application that I use is the fathers, fellows have gone before me. You see, Doss, Lorne, Jim Downing, Bob Foster, so many fellows that have influenced my life have gone before me and hammered out the way to go. Scripture says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Isn't that beautiful?
That's beautiful.
Yeah. 23:1. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings that fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Did I tell you where I memorized that?
No.
I was in the Wellington Airport, and I was working on that verse. I was waiting for plane, Wellington, New Zealand. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not, for riches workers make themselves wings. And then I looked around, I said, well, I wonder what the headlines is. So I found a paper, and I looked over there, and Mr. Muldoon was the prime minister. And it says, Muldoon revalues the dollar 20%. So when the New Zealand dollar was revalued, then the U.S. dollar was devalued. And overnight, I lost 20% of all my U.S. dollars. Riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as the eagle toward heaven. I should never forget that verse. 23:7?
Yes.
As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. And Mike, that's the reason as we disciple fellows now, we want to get them to think differently and want to get them to think according to the Word. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now each week, I meet together with several fellas, and I take a different pack as I meet together with fellas, and to go over the Word, living in the Word, ministering through the Word. And as these verses stay fresh in my heart and mind, then it gives me guidance, and I can make a commitment. I can make a decision. And men, I pass that on to you because it takes discipline. It takes discipline. And don't let things come in the way. My eyesight started going bad about 3 years ago, so I don't read anymore. Well, John, how in the world do you get along? Well, I have fellows come read for me, and my secretary reads to me. And then my Bible reading, I get off of a CD. And I have my breakfast and quiet time in the morning by myself. And I plug in the CD, and I'm getting more Bible reading than I did when I could read. I read the Old Testament through once and the New Testament through 5 times last year. I'm going to try to do better this year. And figure out a way to overcome your handicaps, you see. If you need to make a decision for exercise. Well, John, it's so rough where I live and I don't see well. Well, then go to the mall. It's smooth at the mall. That's what I do, you see. And I got a place lined out at the house 2 miles. See? And I try to get that 5 or more times a week. And I do. And if extremely hot weather, I go to the mall. Extremely cold weather, I go to the mall. Make a commitment to do what you want to do, to walk with God, to follow God, and get some help. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for this good time together. And Lord, I pray we'll make application today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, man.